Like
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the one and only Mod State Podcast. My friend, how are you?
Good, sir. Still adjusting to that reality. There's only one.
One reality? Yeah, you're correct.
But no. All right. You know, let's just take that back. No, there's only one and only Mod State Podcast. You know, that's,
yes. That I am aware of at this point.
It's a reality that fits.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the world's better for it sometimes.
Well, for the most part, my world tends to be, but it also depends on if we have to go around the same mountain a 37th time. What a number! 37 indictments. Ugh. I mean,
well, yeah, good segue, man. Look, I would just like to go on record, and I'm not a political strategist. I am not.
Same story 2 years in a row every day.
Look, I can at least when everything happened, I wasn't bummed out and I wasn't elated. Like, depending on what side you were on, I just went back and hearkened back under the couple podcast episodes that we did that I said, don't be surprised if nothing comes of this. Now, the proverbial you definition of something coming out of this, may include all of these convictions by the Manaforts and the Cohens. However, what I really meant was, if you thought the president of the United States was A, going to get indicted, or there was going to be, or one step less, there's going to be this treasure trove of collusion and obstruction, I said, you will find yourself severely disappointed. And look, I talked to a lot of people that it felt like, in their heart of hearts, that they felt like the shoe was going to drop. The next Mueller probe, or the next raiding of an apartment or a hotel room, that this was it. And I'm just glad that I stuck to my principle and my visceral reaction.
If you hit up over 3 dozen people, then you're having problems hitting the original target.
Yeah. I mean, granted, you said this too over and over and over. You said, if we had the smoking gun, we would know about it by now.
Exactly.
And there just
still
wasn't.
Not yet.
Now, what? In all fairness, there's a couple things fair here. And I explained this. I was talking to my dad. They were in this weekend, and he doesn't really hold much of a political stance. People have heard him on the podcast before, but we were just discussing it briefly because it's obviously news. And I said, look, there's a couple things here. First, it's weird if you're on the left and you are sort of disappointed that the president of the United States didn't commit treason. That's the first weird thing. The second is, it's if you're on the other side, the right, so let's just say a staunch Trump supporter, and you are jumping for joy that this is finally over, I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of happy that it's over. However, when you use terms like fully exonerated, et cetera, I still have to go, okay. Except for the fact that it was almost as if Mueller didn't quite have enough evidence for a full case on obstruction, but he didn't have nothing, and he wasn't going to indict a sitting president anyway. That wasn't up to him. So and then the other thing, is that Mueller's investigation turned up a lot of stuff that they, within their scope, could not prosecute and go after. So they referred to places like the Southern District of New York and Virginia and D.C. So by no stretch of the means is the saga over, but the collusion, the Russian collusion story is over. I think even if and this is all speculation, but even if the full report with no redactions was made public, I still don't think people could come to every conclusion that they would want to or they'd like to, but they're still not going to be the president specifically colluding with Russia.
Because legally, there has to be some sort of conviction.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's sort of the one thing about the justice system is you really have to have fairly solid evidence. And even if you have evidence, evidence doesn't necessarily mean that you can actually convict somebody of anything. You can bring charges, but you still have to go through court.
Well, anybody can be indicted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except apparently a sitting president.
Allegedly.
I'm not sure how that works, honestly. I feel like just because one is the commander-in-chief, they have to be able to legally be held accountable. And I've heard it argued, and not just by folks supportive of the president, but legal minds, that they argue that, well, that's what the impeachment process is for. Okay, but none of our founding documents implicitly state that. So mm-hmm. I find that a little bit problematic, to borrow your word. But look, let's get real here. There's been a number of convictions related, for instance, with Paul Manafort, to things that weren't directly stemming from Mueller's mandate, which was to investigate, long story short, whether or not Russia had moved voting numbers, voting tallies. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we didn't see any evidence of that. We would have heard that. And the president, doesn't it feel sort of like a tie here in a sense? Because you're screaming from the bell tower that, hey, there was full exoneration, which in fact, the attorney general's statement was not the opposite, but it said that this does not constitute an exoneration. So it kind of feels like what?
Yeah, well, there's
protest too much.
Yeah, there's a couple things there, and that was sort of the other part of this as well. Looking at those individuals who hail this a huge victory and a complete exoneration, that I also said, you do realize that, and this is just the way it works, you do realize that the AG, the current AG, was hand-selected by the President of the United States and also had suggested earlier, prior to his post, that this entire investigation was, quote, not really quote-unquote, but paraphrased as stupid and pointless. So that's another thing here that I always say, how would history look at this in 150 years or 200 years? And you know there's things in the history books, right, where you look back and you're like, holy crap, how did they do that? That's just blatant, not corruption, but just blatant abuse of power. And it's not an abuse of power. I'm not saying that at all, but it's one of those things you could look back in 200 years and go, wait a second, you mean to tell me that the top lawyer in the land was hand-selected by a president who was under investigation for collusion and obstruction, and then he got a report, and 24 hours later, he was like, yep, no charges, we're good, and no one saw the full report? That is something that in 200 years, you could read and go, huh? That's sort of weird.
Well, and how does it play now, the fact that we dropped the A-bomb on Japan twice? Would we do that now?
Would we?
I mean, I know that's apples and oranges, clearly, in the probably the purest geopolitical sense, but I feel like the song remains the same here, in that, according to the topic you bring up, the subtopic of would this be tolerated in another time, I don't know that we would tolerate what happened to Nixon in another time.
Well, yeah, and the reality of a president picking his own AG and it getting confirmed by a Republican-controlled Senate
Everybody gets to pick their own AG.
Yeah, exactly. That's never going to change. That will never change. So this happening again in the future, though probably a low probability in terms of the collusion obstruction, it's absolutely going to happen again in terms of a president picking his own AG. So, and that's why history might not look at it quite the same way, but everything that has happened is certainly strange. And I think probably realistically what should happen, barring any sort of national security issue, is that the report should be made public. And that could be a benefit for Trump, in terms of really exonerating him. And the other reality is people are going to come to their own conclusions. But again, the end of the day, I'm glad it's over. I'm glad at this point, it does not appear that the President of the United States committed treason. And we'll let the rest of the emoluments clause and the inaugural committee, et cetera, be worked through the Southern District of New York and these other circuits or districts. Because Here's the thing. I truly believe that most...
I think there's several things here.
There are several things. One being, look, I don't think your average American wants corruption, whether it's your president or, you know, even if it's a president you don't agree with. I think if it actually came out that something horrible happened, it's just not good for democracy and it's not good for anything. As far as I'm concerned, like I am glad that bad people and people that played the system are going to jail. I am glad for that. But if it was a byproduct of this entire investigation, I'm fine with that. I really am, because I personally don't want assholes in high levels of government and having the president's ear. Because you and I both know we would go to jail probably for far longer for those things than they did. And what's ahead?
There's lots of trouble to be had, though, in a place called Great Britain when one commits libel. And I would venture to say that there's two groups here that quantify as the biggest losers in this. One, in my mind, it serves them right. And the other, quite an innocent victim. The latter is the American people. The American people are the real loser here. And I'm not just talking about the 30 million plus alleged cost of this legal gymnastics course that we've all endured. And I think I'm being kind there. It's more like an endurance contest of the worst variety. But the biggest loser, the former, which deserves it in my mind, is the mainstream media. And once again, they have tried. I don't care what your opinion is on, well, I care. Have an opinion by all means. There's no logic. There's no logical argument that can be presented to me that the media was not skewed against the president here.
Well,
he was tried and convicted beforehand. His tweeting didn't help. I acknowledge that. Okay.
Well,
you can't have obstruction without a conviction. Okay. Again, if there was a smoking gun, as you brought up my argument earlier, we would already know about it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And not liking someone justified. Look at the smear campaign against the Trump family. His son-in-law and his daughter being dragged into all this.
Yeah. Okay.
This group will stop at no lows.
Well, I will say that when it dropped, I was at work and I went in to just, picked CNN. I knew what the channel was and I picked it. And I literally watched an entire panel, what's his nuts?
I'm not sure that's an actual title.
conservative host, former governor, former...
Mike Huckabee?
Yeah, Huckabee. No, it wasn't.
He's freed, isn't he?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Huckabee.
Bobby Jindal?
Nope, nope.
Bush?
No, not
running out of...
Yeah, I know, not Huckabee.
Conservative names to drop here.
Oh, come on. What is his...
That's how much governor. I don't care. I mean, from where?
Not a governor. He was a GOP contender for a while. Oh, holy crap.
Romney, Gingrich, Rubio.
Nope. Anyway, Cruz. Who cares? I'll find it later. And... Other than him, everyone felt deflated, right? It literally looked like everyone was bummed out that nothing came of it. And granted, they had their good questions. Granted, they had their good questions in terms of the AG, et cetera. But it was almost as if they were bummed out that
because they were,
and they, I'm sure they were. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And it kind of just moved on from there. You can see even today, the push has now been healthcare. And of course that's Rick Santorum, by the way.
Oh God.
Yeah. Oh God. I know. I can't stand the guy. Anyway.
Why is his name coming up anywhere?
It's all over, bro. It's all over. But everyone seemed deflated, and it almost looked as if they were trying to piece through the two-letter memo from Barr as to try to find some sort of way to explain how it wasn't over. And granted, I think everyone, like I said, I think it's...
I'll tell you what's not over, because there are certain Democrats in Congress not saying the leadership, but there are certain members rank and file that are going to be the opposite of that. They're going to attempt to paraphrase the words of one congresswoman-elect at the time, impeach the MFR. That's their mindset, and it's going to be to the detriment to the mainstream party.
Yeah, and so that'll be interesting to see. I mean, I haven't heard much in terms of that rhetoric post this memo, and I'm sure it's probably there, but you've got to think that Nancy Pelosi is bringing them in the office and go, look, I respect what you're trying to do. I understand what you're trying to do, but right now we need to be focusing on 2020.
And you got to think of it this way. Along the way to the rocket ship taking off before life begins, there appear to be no signs that it's happening. All right.
Yeah.
There's a lid being kept on this.
Yeah.
You know what's going on right now? You know that the likes of Ocasio-Cortez and company, the representative, that they're not just sitting back going, you know, all right, that's cool, Madam Speaker. We're with you. We're not going to just, no, you know, that's not nearly the tenor of the conversation right now.
Yeah. It's, I have to say, and we brought this up in precast a little bit in terms of strategy moving forward.
Well, yeah, but the latest wrinkle was 24 hours later, less than 24 hours later, what was the president up to?
Are we moving into where we think we're moving into, or
we don't have to, because I know it's a discussion people are going to hear the word and they're going to be like, oh my god, not again, not yeah. right now, take a couple episodes off. Without even moving, you could insert issue title X.
Yeah, okay, well,
it could be swine mental health, Department of Agriculture.
Okay, well, we'll go there, because I do think it's because we can talk more at length about it, but the end of the day, this is, you know, and even if the full report comes out, and I can't imagine that either Barr has read the whole thing through or the president has, he said, let's see it, bring it out. And the more that Democrats go after this, the more Schiff continues to push this, the more Trump uses it as cannon fodder, and it makes everyone look really bad. And just like I've told or said in this podcast before, that if President Trump just shut up, our attention span is so short that we sort of move on from this. And it's sort of like the Brexit of the United States. I think people are so sick and tired of hearing about this, that if they were to just shut up and move on and worry about 2020 and the topics, that Trump would be less, it wouldn't work as well if Trump used it as complete cannon fodder and hit it home, if there wasn't sort of a counterbalance to it.
In his defense, okay, and we know now this guy is full of Schiff, as the president quipped. Well, he came up with that bad one. When they're lousy, they just lay there, folks. But
good night.
This here's the deal with Representative Schiff. How many times, I'm sure you weren't writing it down, I wasn't counting either, but how many times did he say they had direct evidence that the president had colluded and obstructed justice?
Yeah, that was the one thing about him over and over. That was, as the Mueller investigation was wrapping up, he was on TV saying, we have direct evidence, we have direct evidence. Well, like, okay, well, let's see something. And it...
Tell me he wouldn't have presented that already? I mean, he'd be the viral hero of the Prague rock left for how long?
Yeah, but, you know, at the end of the day, the president has, and I'll do a prediction. I won't predict that the president wins 2020, but I will say that his statistical probability in my book of actually sealing 2020 is a lot stronger now.
If there was a line in Vegas, I think it just got a lot better for him. You'll have to go to, I think it's predicted.org. I play the markets from time to time. I haven't checked yet, but I would imagine that it's trending green.
Yeah.
And I mean left.
I agree with you. And so if the Democrats were to just shut up and those screaming for impeachment shut up, the president would do a good enough job of just sort of demantling huge wins that he has. And that's what you were alluding to just several minutes ago, that within probably 24 hours or 48 hours, the president decides to go ahead and sort of rescind his prior
Detente.
His prior convictions or his prior platform or statements around the ACA or Obamacare and decides that it's better to just go ahead and dismantle the whole thing. It's currently in an appeals court in a fairly conservative circuit, and probably will go to the Supreme Court, which, just like abortion, has a higher statistical probability of being repealed in the type of Supreme Court that we have today than we would have 5 years ago. Does it mean it's going to happen? No. But in a hypothetical...
St. John Roberts is going to save them both. Roe v. Wade and the ACA.
Let's just pretend in a completely hypothetical political America. You know what? I don't know. And the Supreme Court up until now has surprised me a little bit. However, there is a statistical higher probability, given the individuals on the Supreme Court, the justices on the Supreme Court, that there's a higher probability that it gets repealed. And it doesn't mean that it will, but there's a higher probability. Now, this is just one of those things. We're what, 9 years into Obamacare? There's goods and bads, but overall, some of the net positives are we have plenty more people insured. That means more people are paying in to cover comorbidities of those who are sicker.
Let me ask you this. Which feels longer, how long the Affordable Care Act's been around or how long Donald Trump's been president?
Oh, God. Oh, the president, for sure, because it's not as exhausting.
That's not very Christmassy of you, but anyway, no. Do continue.
Anyway, so over this period of time, almost a decade, we've created a lot of things that Americans do find useful about the ACA. So in other terms, it's sort of become, quote unquote, an entitlement. Now, whether or not you want to call it an entitlement or not, taking it away would feel like taking an entitlement away because people would be less protected under the ACA if we were to just take it away and repeal it. That's just a fact. That's just the way it would work. And I feel, and I certainly am not alone in this hypothesis, that it would pave the most perfect yellow brick road and straight line from A to B for universal healthcare. It absolutely would. Because when you take something away that's been entrenched in a society for 10 years that has, for the most part, been fairly beneficial to the average American, to take that away will make people demand something equivalent or easier people who have an entitlement are less inclined to desire something inferior to the product they had before. It's just not the way it works.
It's going to create a seesaw effect. You're going to take it away. You have 23 million plus Americans that are now insured to one varying degrees. You're going to take it away, and it's going to, from a political strategy standpoint, it's going to put the GOP caucus in both houses in a really bad situation.
Really,
probably everybody short of the Tea Party, who they're secure regardless. Their folks say no. The less fortunate get all the breaks, and no matter what happens, we're going to stay sick. If that's the way it is, you know, that's a very small minority of the American people. I mean, I'm sure they would be offended at me saying that, calling 40 members out of 465 or whatever it is in both houses. But that's
no.
It's a small group that's going to hold the party hostage if this indeed goes forward. You got to hope this is something that the ADHD kicks in and doesn't get followed up on.
Well, yeah, it's exactly it. I mean, we're not trying to make this another healthcare part 3 or 4.
No, forget that. This is mere saying heading into the election cycle, because that's where we're at.
Yeah, and it really could put a number of representatives and senators in some very uncomfortable situations, especially trying to articulate a plan B. And that's one thing for 7+ years that the GOP had a really hard time articulating was the plan B. What do we do in place of this? What's your better idea? And a lot of the times there was no idea, and or the idea was just ridiculous. It just it's sort of happening in places like, I think it's Kansas, where you now have, and we've talked about it in a couple other podcasts. I don't know if
something's happening in Kansas.
it's either Kansas or Oklahoma. I think it's Kansas. Where you have insurance policies that really aren't insurance policies and can't really be contested the same way a traditional insurance policy can. What are they? They're essentially best way to describe it is an insurance policy with far less protections than a traditional commercial insurance policy from like a Blue Cross Blue Shield.
So it's the insurance version of a sheepskin.
Pretty much. It's like the payday lender of loans. Do you know what I mean? It's not the traditional bank loan. So in those terms, that's sort of the plan B. And it's a horrific plan B. It's not a great plan B. So what that does is it's absolute fuel to the fire for the 1 million Democratic presidential candidates for universal health care. And it would not be a hard sell for most Americans to be able to point and go, look, this guy wants to dismantle all these things that have made your life a lot easier to really a horrible plan B. Well, let me show you the step up from ACA. And most people will recognize that that's whether you or I debate whether it's a better solution to the average American, that will be the better solution of the proposed solutions by all the candidates. So yeah, again, getting back to the point, it's like the president has this massive win, and then oof, if I was a political strategist, I would go just shut up, drive on, hit home that you're happy that this is over, it's good for America, and just don't do anything for a little while. Just go play golf, bro. Like, you deserve it. You deserve this round of golf. You go do that. And just don't. I mean,
this is where you look to the example of Bill Clinton, who at this point, he would have sense enough to go, hey, you know, giving away free cream pies. Oh, I mean, God. That's where this would have it then. So, I mean, at least it's something, let's have a little moderation, shall we? Let's go from Russiagate, not to the Affordable Care Act, but maybe let's talk about the border again.
Yeah, let's go to the border, man. That sounds
probably
good.
Been a whole what, 96 hours?
Well,
I mean, since that was big news.
Well, it's sort of big news again because the Pentagon was going to appropriate $1 billion in funds to a border wall, and the Oversight Committee promptly said, "F you, nope." So that was exciting. Mm-hmm. Surprise, huh? Now, if there wasn't a national security, it probably wouldn't be that big a deal. But precedent sent by a national security issue kind of changes the game in terms of the Oversight Committee. So,
and I probably wouldn't have prefaced what I was about to do were I the president with the Emergency Powers Declaration. I probably wouldn't have used the phrase. I wouldn't have uttered the phrase, you know, I don't have to do this.
Oh, God. Seasoned tactician there.
That's like, all right, you finally worked up the nerve to talk to this girl, right? And you say, look, I mean, and you're trying to play it cool, and you're like, man, I don't even really like you, but... so she's a stand-in, yes. Every woman wants to feel that way. I mean, that's the political version of what he did.
Yeah, it's kind of like calling 911 and asking for the SWAT team, and they show up, and you're like, I didn't really need to do that.
Guys, you're here.
Hey, guys. What's up?
They'd be thrilled.
Ugh. Well, anyway, we have covered our thoughts. And you know what? Quite frankly, in conclusion of this entire thing, there's still things to flesh out in terms of the Southern District of New York at all, as you would say. But I'm happy that this is done. And I'm happy that as of right now, it appears that our president is not a crook. He's an asshole, but
is it done, or is the political pregnancy just beginning? Because this honestly feels like an intellectual rape of the American people. I mean, are you not just worn out with this?
Yeah. If
it's not going to die.
Here's the thing. If I have a bit of empathy, again, apples and oranges to those who are going through Brexit right now, as it's far more damaging, Brexit is than what's happening here.
Make England matter again.
But if they feel like this, or if it's even exponentially worse than this, I understand your exhaustion with the political process.
In terms of media coverage?
everything, media coverage, lack of, it's just, it's, it, in terms of just political crisis, if you will, that it can be exhausting. And if I couldn't imagine if we were in Britain covering Brexit the way we've covered the president of the United States, it, in terms of collusion and obstruction.
I think it'd be worse in a sense, because the whole thing boils down to a seeming school era type question of,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, are you going to or not?
Yeah. No.
This is not that complex. I mean, at least this involved an investigation that, whether it stayed within the mandate or not, for the sake of argument, is irrelevant. I mean, this whole thing's gone off the rails. Seriously, Theresa May makes Betsy DeVos look competent.
Oh, God. Oh, well.
How many times do you need to muster up a vote of your own party to get something done that you campaigned on?
Yeah. Well, let's save Brexit for another topic. We've gone 30 minutes. I feel like we've hit what we needed to do here. So yeah. As always, my friend, it's an honor and a privilege, and it's
indeed.
You know, it's interesting to say that there's a new chapter to the collusion obstruction. One chapter is closed, and I can say today, doing this podcast, that the speculation part of this is truly over. And
that much is true. Thank God.
Yeah.
Whatever higher power you believe in.
It is over. So, with that, my friend, until next time.
Bye-bye. We'll see you.